it's hard when you try, when you know you want to communicate with people that either went through it or know about it, but one, it's hard to talk about, and two, to find a lot of the people from back then. And me, at least when I was so young, I didn't know the older community back then. You know, it was all kids or whatever, you know. But then losing friends was, you know, during that time was hard, because it was my age, you know. It was this one, and for the life of me, I tried to remember his name, because he was like, he was so close to me, but I couldn't, I can't remember his name. And I think I tried to black out a lot of that time, though. I really did. Because it was hard. It was like the day before, we were hanging out. I think we were playing pinball at my mom's store, because she had this store right across the street. And then in the middle of the night, all hell breaks loose. And then in that same fire, there was a woman, young girl, just had a baby. The baby was maybe weeks old, if not a month or so. And her husband or boyfriend at the time, he was working, like a shift, I guess, during the night. Fire breaks out. They found her at a window with her baby clutched, and that's how they found her, with her baby clutched by the window. And when they lifted her up to take her out, that's when everybody saw that. Then her husband, her boyfriend, after that lost his mind. Like, he wasn't the same. He wound up on the streets and everything. And he blamed himself a lot. He literally wanted to find the person that had been killed. All of them were deemed arsons. At that time, it was like they were trying to get rid of everybody. Or, I don't know what they were trying to do. But yeah, that was a hard one. You know, my mom went, whatever time that was, it was the middle of the night. I was out the window screaming my eyes out. And she went down and opened the store so that the firemen can go in and drink, because they have to drink milk, because of the smoke inhalation. So she just opened up the store and started giving them milk and coffee and whatever they wanted. Families that were already out or that made it out, she made sure that they were, you know, there and safe, and if they needed something. I remember the one guy that he had his wife and I don't know how many kids. He ran downstairs and told her to throw the kids out the window. And he caught them one by one, and caught them all. And then she jumped in here. So he was able to save that family like that. I think later on there was a rumor, like, how did he get out with his whole family? But people didn't know the right, you know, the story behind it. Beautiful, beautiful family.
Do you remember the family name?
I can't remember the fact. That's what I'm trying, because I'm so young. I was trying to even look through the through the history, and I can't remember the name.
Yeah.
It was a black family.
Okay.
It was an older gentleman. Yeah, and the kids were small, little. I don't know how many there were either. I know he threw them one by one out the window. We were watching all that happening.
Yeah.
The one girl that jumped, another girl, a friend of mine from school, she jumped out the window. She wound up landing feet first, and when she did, her legs came up and her hips just collapsed into the upper part of her, so she was like in full body cast for God knows how long. We saw that too. So that was the biggest one for me. And there was the 12th, I think it was one on 12th Street. The Washington Street one. Where I didn't get to, like, my mom just tried to keep me from going to, you know, to see what's going on. But we were in fear, because where I lived, I was at 116 14th Street, right on the first floor, above the bar. That was a bar there. We were in fear. We thought It could be us. It could be next. It's a corner property. If they were looking for these properties like that, nice, good, big building, you know, it was bad. Yeah. I remember that the, through most of them, my father would organize the marches. And with the group of people that, you know, because he belonged to the Kuna Citizens United for National. He was around a few places. There was one in Willow further down, like 9th or something, where they bombed. Because they really didn't want him there. Because he was big, big, big voice for the city and for the people. And they, City Hall, they hated him. He wasn't liked, he wasn't wanted. He was hated to the point that they bombed the office. He wasn't there, thank God. But they, it was either a message to shut the hell up and stop, or they expected him to be there. And what did he do? Shut it down and opened up further up on 10th and Willow. I mean, he wasn't going to stop. He wasn't going to stop.
Why was your dad doing this? Why do you think your dad was doing this?
I don't know the back history of it, but I know that from the little that my mom has told me that he like kind of started in New York when they had those protests over there, you know, Spanish Harlem. He was sort of part of that. Remembering, I guess, just remember when they had the big protest where they put, I don't know if you know the story, but they had put the garbage out all into the street because they just said, well, you don't want to pick it up, then this is what's going to happen. They started burning. So he was kind of part of that history, and I think that stuck to him where, you know, the unfairness, he wanted to make sure that there was equality and it wasn't. So from the city and coming down to here and then seeing what's going on here and seeing this, the people that were sitting in the seats at City Hall. And I mean, there's no other way to say it, but the racism was strong. Hoboken was majority Puerto Rican. He was very, very much Puerto Rican. So he wanted to, I guess, make a difference. Make a difference in their life and make a difference for the city too. So they didn't have a voice and he was their voice. And he would hold these meetings with them and he would go out in the streets and protest. He would go to City Hall. I even remember an incident when they were electing a mayor in one of the elections. And he was inside and we, because I went with him everywhere, were all outside just waiting. And he just said, and he tells me as an 11, 12-year-old, if you see me come out with a smile on my face, we're good. If you see me come out with my face, that face, we start the chant. And what was the chant? So he said it was basically recall, 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 and to keep repeating it, no matter where he went, no matter what he did, no matter what happened, to keep repeating it. So when I saw him come out with the face, and he said, now, I went outside and I started yelling my little self, recall, recall. And everybody, you hear them call, recall, recall, and it was big. What happened during that same protest? There was, and I don't know if you remember this person, but it was a homeowner or one of the building owners. I believe she was a 14th Street homeowner. She was a trans or somewhere along those lines. But she dressed as a woman. Actually went there, she shouldn't have, and the crowd was gonna kill her. They felt like the homeowners basically were kind of like giving in to whatever, like they wanted either their buildings burned down, either for insurance or for the money that they were being offered at the time, which all the rumors were, because they wanted to make it what it is today with the condos and stuff. So they wanted to kill this person, and they surrounded her. The cops were all around, but they weren't letting the cops in. When my dad came out, the cops surrounded him. You see them then, the whole crowd move away from that person and surround the cops that were surrounding my dad. And they were saying, "You're not taking him. You're gonna have to go through all of us." They shit their pants. They were like, you know, they were saying, "Well, just, you know, tell your people then to calm down and, you know, let it go." And he goes, "Well, you're gonna have to get away. Let me go." Basically, they had to like separate, and then this crowd surrounded my dad to protect him. And it was during that time, because of the fires, they just any homeowner that they thought was with these people that wanted to burn the city down and burn out the Puerto Ricans, that's why he was trying to protect her. There was a lot of people, obviously, on Willow Avenue, because that's where his kind of territory was, where he was protected the most. All up and down those blocks, he would hang out on the stoops with them and all this stuff. And he was up. One thing I also remember with him, whenever he was with me, we would cross the street and a car would go like this, he said, "Don't move." And he would tell the car to go. And I always found that strange until one day, and he did it all the time. And I said, why, if they're giving us a chance to cross, Daddy, why don't you let us, you know, why don't we? He goes, "Because we don't know who they are, and they could be asking us to cross to run us over." And so that was that fear also. And then obviously I grew up with that. So wherever I go when I'm at a corner, till this day, if somebody goes like this, I'm looking at the light to make sure it's red, and there's no red, and it's just whatever, if it's a stop sign, I go. But if it's nothing, no, that's good, go. It stayed in my brain. Never let me cross the street if somebody said go, because they were offering. Yeah, it was a crazy time. But for every fire that would happen, and they would, you know, bring the structure down to rubble, we'd have a march. And throughout the march in Hoboken, it was kind of planned where we would march to each location, stop at that burn location. They would either have a prayer, or he would say something. Not say, but scream stuff. X persons died here. Next one, it would be like, you know, "The blood was shed here from our people." And then we would just march, march, march. And then we'd always wind up at City Hall. He'd make his big speech there. And then we, you know, everybody goes their separate ways. And we did a lot of those. And he did he did organize them, or a lot of them. But when I was looking through some of the history myself, it never said that he did that. It said that other people would organize it, and he was just kind of a part of it, or a voice. And it's sad, because I had recordings, tapes of his meetings, some of them from City Hall, some of them in his meetings with the people, what they were going to do. And you could feel the intensity in his voice and how he would speak and everything. And I lost them for the life of me. I can't find them, and I'm sad about that. He would do a lot of events, block parties. Hard for him to get permits, but they couldn't deny it all the time, because if you have, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You have to, again, that's that equality. Well, how come so and so and Blanquito could have their block party and all this, but then we can't have ours at a Hispanic event, right? You know, so in order to not hear his big voice, they made, you know, they wanted to keep it calm, and they would approve his permits. But he had a lot of those. He did a lot on the block, obviously, some on Washington. I remember down River Road before it was what it is today, at Sinatra Park and all that stuff. Mucho baile, a lot of dancing. He would get orquestas from wherever, and they would come and and it was always, you know, the Hispanic community, and they did ask for donations, because, again, it was to help the families of the fires, to help the organization stay afloat because they were not helping him at all.
Oh my God. Just remember the same, doing the same thing. You would leave the back door open, the back window open to get out on the fire escape. If anything happened, we had two ways to get out, either climbing the tree or pulling the ladder for the fire escape down when we lived at 116. And we always checked to make sure that it was working. We would pull it down and pull it up to make sure that it was working. Remember this chant too, we used to say it all the time in the marches. We used to say divided, so the people united will never be divided. That's how we used to say. That was after that fire, when my mom let me come out, finally, we walked to the back of Pinto, and we saw that happening as they put the people down. And first we saw when they lifted the mom with the baby in her arms, and then when they were putting her out to the back. Yeah, and I think the boyfriend back, like the baby's father back then, I think I don't know if it was there or they took him to identify, I don't know what, because they were burned. But he wanted to see them no matter what. And I think that's kind of what made him lose it at that point. He was trying to turn his life around and make everything better because of that. He was in love with that baby. You would always see him strolling the carriage and not mommy. He was so proud.